Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Well, it's game day, IU and Purdue tonight in Assembly Hall. Of course, we'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X Sports Radio, and it's a big rivalry game. I don't know that I sense the excitement that typically surrounds this game because of Indiana's lackluster play as of late. But nonetheless, it's a home game for Indiana. Indiana trying to avoid, I believe, their fifth straight loss at home, which is just staggering to think about. And where this season started and where things are at today as we head into this big IU-Purdue game. But it's still a big one tonight, I would have to believe. And again, I'm not sure that anyone can diagnose what exactly is wrong with this team or why they are playing the way they are, why they are having the performances that they are. But just knowing Romeo Langford to start with, he had 4 points, 6 points the first time these teams played. It was by far probably the worst game of his career, and I'm talking about any game that I have ever seen Romeo or ever aware that Romeo played in, whether it was a high school game, a meaningless summer game, a middle school game, whatever it is. I would have to think that his pride in this game tonight, even though it's maybe approaching the end at Indiana, will want to come out and play better and have a normal performance, at least for him, which has been fairly solid throughout the season. So nothing went really well for Indiana. The last time that these two teams met, Purdue didn't really shoot it great either, but they were able to use balanced scoring and roll on to a victory over the Hoosiers. We'll see if things change tonight. If there is a chance, and I've lost a lot of confidence or hope myself, like many of you, but if there is a chance for this team to solve some of the more basic issues, at least I would think they're the more basic issues, not involving the offense, not involving the defense, not involving player personnel, but just simply coming out, being pumped up, being excited, being ready to go, whether the shot goes or not, whether you get the stop or not on defense, being ready to sprint up and down the floor and play at the hardest level you possibly can, you would think this would be the game. Because you're playing your rival team, you're back at home in front of your home crowd, who, you know, I think it'll be loud in there tonight. I think the fans still really care about beating Purdue. I know people are frustrated with a lot of different things with this team, but I think the crowd, at least at the start, will be where you want it to be for an IU-Purdue game. I could be wrong. We'll see. But I would think that it would. And how could you not get up for this game, whether you've had a banner season and you're at the top of the Big Ten Conference and definitely going to postseason basketball at this point, or whether you're where IU's at, near the bottom and struggling and haven't had much success at all since January or in January or February, this should be an easy game to at least get up for, at least play hard for, at least show that you still have some fight in you. And if Indiana comes out like they did at Minnesota and not only gets beat but gets blown away at home this time and doesn't show any additional effort or care that the season is still going on, even though they're playing against Purdue, this Indiana team tonight will take another hit because, as we all know, Indiana losing to Purdue is different than Indiana losing to anyone else in the Big Ten Conference. Indiana losing to Purdue at home is even different from Indiana losing to Purdue at Mackey Arena. So, we'll see. It's another opportunity for this team. I think that the chances are short now for them to have the success, the remaining schedule of the Big Ten Conference that they'd like as far as where they could place in the conference to close things out. I think that the chance for them to get to the postseason obviously is slim to none at this point. I don't know, maybe if you use this game to start a fresh slate, maybe hoping that you can get into the Big Ten tournament, and which of course everyone does, and make a strong showing when you get there. Maybe that could be a signature for this team if you're still looking for positives. But tonight, a win over Purdue would be pleasing, I think, to many people and would show that this team is still alive. And the good news is for IU, for the team, for the fans, for everybody tonight, Indiana beat Michigan State. I know they were without Langford. I know Michigan State, after that, lost a game or two, but they're still at the top of the conference, and they're still really, really good. And if Indiana could beat Michigan State, they're ahead of Purdue right now in conference standings. They can beat Purdue. They just can. They've got the talent. They've got a couple key players to do so if they can get going tonight. They've got some role players, other players that can help with the cause. They should not get blown away by this Purdue team. I really don't feel like there's many teams in the conference outside of just a bad night where this team should get blown away. I'm good if they lose. I'm good if they're in the middle of the pack or even a spot or two below that, to be quite honest. But getting blown away by middle-of-the-road opponents or at home, that's a tough pill to swallow, I think, for anybody that follows this team. So big game tonight, IU and Purdue. We'll have the call right here on the Big X with Don Fisher. Of course, after the game, we've got the Assembly Call post-game show with Jared Morris, who is with me on Fridays, and his crew. It's always a fun way to recap win or lose or draw for this Indiana team, how things go. We'll have that coming up tonight as well. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, news of the day, presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll take a look at some of the key remarks last night from Archie Miller. It was another live edition of the Archie Miller Coaches Show. We also had that here on the Big X, as we do every Monday at 7:05. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at some factoids about this IU-Purdue series and the game tonight. Also, a couple recruiting notes as well as we close things out here in segment one. Later in the program, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, the sports columnist, he's with us in segment two, presented by Coffee Crossing. Lots of IU Purdue today with Greg. Lots of talk about IU struggles in this matchup tonight. Is it an opportunity for the team to bounce back? And can IU afford to lose at home to Purdue? Can they afford to get blown out at home to Purdue, as they did on the road last Saturday at Minnesota, and still keep this thing going, or have the wheels already fallen off? Is that what Greg expects to happen tonight? So we'll talk that and more with him. Some other things I want to catch up with Greg when he's with us. And then later in the show, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com, he's with us. We'll really dial deep into the Purdue matchups, the IU-Purdue matchups tonight. What went wrong the last game? And, of course, a lot of that is what's went wrong for a great portion of this conference season. But we'll talk about both of those things and more with Mike when he's with us later in the show. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Okay, last night, our Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill and Jeff. First headline, talking about the coaches show last night, Archie Miller asked to address his post-game remark where he mentioned, quote, drastic changes in the press conference. He had some pretty stern words about his coaching staff and his team and perhaps changes that could be forthcoming with this team. And here's what he said in reply to that question. He said, quote, part of the drastic change needs to come with our communication. It can't be a team that doesn't talk to one another. That has to change drastically. He also said on the show last night, talking about IU's practice on Monday, that it was one of the best of the season that the team had had. So it's interesting to hear that, and maybe it's a little hopeful to hear that, that this team, despite the loss at Minnesota coming out of the weekend, had a really good practice to get ready for Purdue. Perhaps, you know, you wonder, are they enough, tired of getting beat, ready to play together, ready to fix whatever internal problems could or may exist with this team? Archie said, quote, I'm hopeful our last couple days are a sign that readiness and energy level won't be a concern. So interesting to hear Miller, who is really reserved with what he has to say, go from a comment about drastic changes are coming, you know, tonight was a deal breaker, talking about the Minnesota game, to now publicly on his radio show bragging about how good of a practice it was and that it maybe is a sign things are getting better when he mentions energy level. That's one of those basic things with effort and energy that the team sometimes comes out with absolutely none, and then they find themselves behind 18-5 or some big deficit to start the game, the hole that they have to dig out of. So he said that. He also went on to say, quote, whether it translates or not, I know the coaching staff and the players left the building tonight and felt really good about each other because we had about as good of a practice as we've ever had. So Very interesting, very strong words, I thought, from Archie Miller about how he feels his team is preparing for the game tonight against Purdue. A couple other notes. Obviously, this game with Purdue coming up tonight is Purdue 18-7 overall, 11-3 in the Big Ten Conference, and Purdue is in the race for the conference championship. Yes, Michigan State and Michigan are ahead of Purdue right now, but they definitely, if you look at the schedule, they're going to have an opportunity to win the Big Ten Conference or be there for a tie. Tonight is a big piece of that, and it's because it's Indiana, it's a rivalry game, and it's on the road. This is a big one for Purdue as they progress through the final weeks of the Big Ten Conference as well. But we know what happened when the teams met back on January 19th. Purdue shot, it wasn't great. They were 7 of 22 from behind the three-point line. They did have balanced scoring, and they rolled to a 15-point victory. And if I remember correctly, it really, you know, the game was out of hand for a great portion of the contest. The star, Carson Edwards, he was just 6 of 18 from the field in that game, but he did have a game-high 7 assists. He logged 38 minutes. We know about their personnel. We know about some of the matchups tonight. For Indiana, though, in that last contest, Romeo Langford, he had 4 points. I thought it was 4 or 6. He had a season-low 4 points in that game, and IU in that contest was actually led by Justin Smith, who was 7 of 8, but had 4 turnovers in the game as well. So we'll be interesting to see if Romeo, you know, himself picks things up in this matchup, this second matchup of the season against Purdue, and it will also be interesting to see if Juwan Morgan is able to post some normal Juwan-like numbers in this contest against Purdue and see if Indiana can hang in there and keep it close at home against the rival. Couple recruiting notes to look at. Thought this was really interesting. Keon Brooks' father, Keon Sr., and again, keep in mind, he played for Ed Schilling when Ed was the head coach at Wright State and has known him for many years. He tweeted this out yesterday afternoon, right after we went off the air. He said, quote, "It's not over, but getting close," talking about the recruiting process. "It's not over, but getting close. Recruiting doesn't start until the parents and players start asking all the hard questions." And he put a hashtag on there. No fluff was his hashtag on the tweet. So who knows exactly what that means or what the point of that tweet is, or if it's just a general comment about Keon and how he's handling some of the recruiting and some of the conversations with coaches as they get to what it seems like we've been told is maybe the final week or two of this recruiting process for Keon Brooks. I know he had senior night last night up at La Lemire in a game that they won handily. Keon did not start in that game as he, I guess, gave the spot up to somebody maybe that had been on the team longer. Interesting to see that. But definitely the recruiting process for Keon Brooks, it seems like things coming to a close. And interesting to see that tweet from his father, who's been very active, as you would expect. He was a great high school player in Fort Wayne. He went on to play at Wright State, went on to play overseas professionally, and knows a lot about what's going on. He's been through this process for sure. Also, a name to add to your recruiting radar, a player in Ohio at Sinclair High School by the name of O'Neill, I believe, and I've lost the name here, Sean McNeil, excuse me, and he's just a freshman, a 6'4" freshman guard, but he's attracted the attention of not only Indiana, Bill Komar, the Hoosiers assistant athletic director for basketball administration. And the story I read about him, it just made a call to the head coach on behalf of head coach Archie Miller, just listing some of the schools that are already interested in him. Seems like an interesting player, definitely a shooter, a scorer, and someone that has got a number of, not offers at this point, but interest from Division I basketball programs. So a player definitely to follow as things go on in the recruiting process for him. And one other quick note, it's a time over the All-Star break from the NBA where often you'll see college players, kind of a trend that happens more recently now or more regularly now. Over the break, if a player's not in the All-Star game or not in the associated All-Star festivities that go on in that weekend, they'll go back to their college, their home base. They'll work out with the trainer there, the personal trainer of their own maybe, the person from the school, and that's what happened for Thomas Bryant. I saw that he was in Bloomington over the weekend. There were some pictures that IU put out of him working with some IU staff and in Cook Hall going through some workouts, both basketball and just agility type stuff. Also, OG Anunoby there. There was even a picture of Jared Jeffries in town for whatever reason with OG Anunoby sitting on the sidelines at Cook Hall. So it's always a good thing when those former guys return, especially those NBA guys that are still active with a career playing professional basketball. That's the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Great place to watch the IU-Purdue game tonight is at Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, right off of 10th Street. Great environment for IU games. If you've never been and you're not going to the IU-Purdue game tonight, tonight would be a great chance to check out their great menu of beverages, make great menu of appetizers, and food as well. And again, IU fight song plays on commercial breaks, especially when the Hoosiers are playing good ball or ahead. It's a really fun environment to be part of. So consider Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville tonight if you're looking for a local spot to watch the IU-Purdue rivalry game. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is next after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star is with me. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery and Cafe. You can stay inside or use our convenient drive-through service. And coming this March, the fourth Coffee Crossing location. Watch for Coffee Crossing Sellersburg, easily located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. Greg, it's IU-Purdue tonight, second and final meeting of the regular season, at least in conference play for both of these teams. And, you know, I still sense that there's excitement about the game, and I'm looking forward to going to the game. It's been a few weeks since I've been able to get up and see Romeo and see the IU team play in person. But I don't sense that it's a normal IU-Purdue matchup in the fact that Indiana's team and fan base, really going back to the start of January each week, things seem to get a little bit worse, even though at times it doesn't seem that that's possible. So obviously maybe there's a little luster that's been lost off of this big game. But still tonight for Indiana, the chance for Purdue to completely knock them out, I believe, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the game tonight feels like, it could obviously go two ways. Indiana playing at home, rivalry game, they have a lot of talent, they've beaten some good teams. I mean, in theory, they can win. And if they win, they're not going to the tournament. But if they win, they at least – you know, salvage some pride, and if they can win this game, maybe they win two or three more the rest of the way, and who the heck knows, maybe they win two in the Big Ten tournament, they do get in to the big one. But anyway, tonight, this team, Purdue, is the one team on their whole schedule that you can beat, and all of a sudden you can puff your chest out and say, okay, now we're back. You would have thought maybe number five or so Michigan State would have been that team, but it wasn't. They lost three since beating Michigan State. But you beat Purdue, if you're wearing the crimson and white, you're pretty happy about that. On the other hand, same token, and the more likely occurrence, just given the trends of both teams, you know, I'm not making a prediction, but holy cow, one team's 1-10 in the last 11 games, and one team's 10-1 in the last 11. In theory, Purdue's going to win this game, and if that does happen, 11th loss and 12th for IU, it happens at home with a fan base that's already ticked off. Tonight could be ugly.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Greg, we talk so much year-round about IU basketball and IU recruiting and Romeo and Archie Miller. I mean, I really feel like we cover it basically when you're with us from all sorts of different segments and all sorts of different areas. As we talked about this team kind of blindly in the summer and then a little bit more informed as you get closer to the start of basketball season and then after practices and Hoosier hysteria, you can kind of take the next step in learning and knowing a bit more about the team. And then once the non-conference season gets underway, you really start to feel like you've got a read for this team. So going back to the start of the schedule, let's say a couple weeks into the season, did you ever see this team as a team that would go on to lose 10 of 11 games at any point in the season?
Not even after the Duke loss. They lost by 21. That made them 5-2. Not even that loss, as bad as, you know, 21 points is no joke, but it was at Duke, and I believe I was – I don't know if that was a Tuesday night, in fact, and you and I were talking about it that morning, and I said, whatever happens tonight, and I knew what was going to happen, it doesn't have to crush IU. It doesn't mean anything. It just, you know, they're playing the wrong team in the wrong building. And that is what happened. And I still thought they were pretty good, and they went out and started off 2-0 in the Big Ten and beat Louisville, beat Butler. I mean, they were 12-2, for crying out loud. So, no, this nobody saw that. Nobody – this wasn't possible. When I say nobody saw this coming, I'm saying this is like adding 2 + 2 and getting 4. I'm sorry, getting 5. No, this can't happen. I mean, it just can't happen. But it has happened. And as I wrote in my story today in the paper, this is not a talent issue. I mean, clearly – I'm not rocket scientist there. The problem here, the question is not, are they just not good enough? Now, they're not terribly good. I mean, they're not, but they're not 1-10 in their last 11 games bad. They're not, let's lose by 25 to Michigan. Let's fall behind Minnesota by 30.
Mm.
That, I tweeted this out last night. I think actually I wrote it in the story too. I use the word quit. You're down 30 to Minnesota. You have one assist in the first half. That smells like quitting to me. And afterwards, when Archie Miller said, we're going to make some drastic changes, this feels like – the words he used were, this feels like a breaking point. I've got to get some guys' attention. None of this was possible. I mean, it happened, obviously. This is not a Hogwarts. There's not a wizard somewhere making the magical happen. But what is happening with IU is not possible, although I've seen it with my own two eyes.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. You mentioned Archie's comments after the game about being a deal breaker, being a breaking point for the team, drastic changes. He was asked about that last night on his coach's show, and he had a rebuttal that it had to do with communication, it had to do with this, it had to do with that. As far as the changes he meant, I thought maybe it would be, and maybe it still will be, who knows, a drastic change in some playing time tonight or a starting lineup change of some sort. Potentially it could be. He didn't address that really in those details last night. But what I did find very interesting last night is after the IU performance on Saturday where – and you wrote quitting. I'm looking at the tweet or the story now, and I agree. You know, it looked like Indiana just quit. The effort and the things that we talk about game after game, that may have been the worst example of that of the season so far. But after that performance and after how upset he was after the game and saying drastic changes are coming, last night on his show, once he gets into the show a bit, he says that they left the building last night at practice feeling great, good practice for the team, one of the best practices they've had at IU. You know, that's great to hear, I guess, for fans in advance of this big game tonight, but it's really surprising to hear that given how things went Saturday and how things have went all of 2019 so far for IU basketball.
Well, I mean, it's surprising if he's telling the truth. Now, it's possible. You know, he talked about drastic changes and this is a deal breaker. You know, maybe behind the scenes, Archie, who's been kind of – he's been pretty blunt this year. He's called his team soft and scared, and, I mean, he's not coddled them, but maybe – maybe that was actually nice, Archie. Maybe really harsh Bob Knight Archie came out over the weekend, and that's why they had that great practice. You know, that is possible. It's possible. What's more likely, given Archie's own track record here, and I like him, but he called him out, called him soft, called him scared, and that was like two or three games in a row. That wasn't just one time. Two or three games in a row. I wasn't even there for that game. The game when he did it, when I was blown away by what he said was the Nebraska game, and I wrote, holy cow, is Archie angry? And then a couple days later, he called him soft and scared, so he got madder. And then immediately after that, after the Rutgers game, about face, you know, it's on me. This is on me, and we've got to make these guys feel better about themselves. And, I mean, he completely went the other way. And then after the Minnesota game, drastic changes, and I hate everybody. And he actually said the words, let's see, we've got to get man, he said something about our best players. I'm not seeing it right now. But we've got to make sure our best players are going in the right direction. And I read that and thought, wait a minute, what? Oh, here it was. You need your best players. You need everybody moving in the right direction, rowing in the right direction. To actually say the words best players tells me there's something wrong, in his opinion, with either Morgan or Langford. Those are his only two good ones. I mean, they got decent players. Those are the only two that even count as best. So for him to go that angry after the Minnesota game and then to tell his radio show, best practice of the year, that to me looks like the yo-yo, and he's just trying to reach his team some way. And we'll see. So, I mean, we'll just have to see.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Coffee Crossing brings us Greg on Tuesdays. Could this – and again, some people would argue that it's already happened, that this team is done, they've quit, there's no chance of anything moving forward, maybe not even a chance of another win in the regular season. I disagree. I think that I think they'll win a game or two at minimum. But do you think tonight, if they get beat or get blasted on their home floor, I know you mentioned earlier that it could get ugly, and I agree with that, but do you think, could this be the knockout blow to get beat by your rival at home for the second time, and if they were to get just wiped away on their home court?
When you say knockout blow, maybe I missed it. Do you mean literally their tournament chances are done, or do you mean just closes the books on what a terrible season this is?
Well, I think they've got an uphill battle for tournament selection as it stands now. I mean, I guess theoretically it's possible, but knockout blow that maybe the team maybe won't win again this season, that they truly, in some moments we think have quit, but truly do quit and just give up on things. Could this be that final blow for the team and the camaraderie of the team and the hope of the team for whatever's left?
If it weren't for Rutgers on March 10th, I'd say yes.
Right.
But because their next games, they got Purdue, and they got the next three games are ranked: Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan State. Two of them are at home, but still. Then they play Illinois, and Illinois is a lot better than it was back when IU beat them earlier this year. Illinois, you know, they're not great by any means, but Illinois is – they're coming – they're doing what Indiana should have been doing. They've used the season to get better. Indiana's gotten worse. Illinois has gotten better. And that game's on the road. So, I mean, the next – you know, win or lose tonight, but especially lose, yeah, I can see them losing the next four in a row for sure, simply because the schedule's brutal. I guess what you're asking me is, could they be so bad they lose their Juwan Morgan's last game at IU, his senior game, last game of the season at home against terrible Rutgers? Could that happen? I say that's impossible. I also say 1-10 in the last 11 games is impossible. And before we have to go, I do want to make sure I say this. Archie has talked about drastic changes and what it sounds like. I mean, I'm not sure how much more drastic you can get or even what you can do drastically. Short of kicking someone off the team, which you didn't do, suspending somebody, which you didn't do, all that's left drastically, unless he's going to go zone all game long, is the starting lineup. That's all that's left. Or maybe a couple reserves don't play any. If either of those two things happen, if he takes even one guy out of the starting lineup, just one, that guy better deserve it. And by that I mean he better not do it just because I think we might play better if we start – you know, I don't know, somebody over Al Durham or somebody, you know, whoever he takes out, that guy better have it coming, because we're all going to look at it, and I'm going to try not to, but we're all going to look at that. I know fans are going to look at that and say, oh, okay, what you're saying is he's the problem. So if Justin Smith doesn't start tonight, well, actually he didn't against Minnesota, but if he makes some change tonight, it's going to look like, okay, you're saying he's the problem. So what I'm saying is whatever happens tonight, that guy better deserve it, because Archie's about to put his finger on somebody.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Two other things about the game tonight I want to bring up. First off, Romeo Langford, he had a season-low 4 points when the teams played in mid-January. And I said on this program, said it earlier today, thankfully I've had a chance to watch Romeo since a young age. I can't ever remember a game outside of that Purdue game where he had 4 points in a contest. Do you think that he will bounce back? I mean, I know a lot of it has to do with the offense and the overall scheme of things, but knowing Romeo as I do and as closely as you followed him as well, he obviously gets, even in his short time in Bloomington, what a big rivalry game this is. Probably in the back of his mind knows that his future in Bloomington is short with NBA possibilities around the corner. I can't see him being the competitor he is, coming out settling for another bad performance, no matter what he has to do tonight to get IU going.
Well, I think on a concrete level, I think his first shot probably means everything. I think if that first shot goes down, I think he's going to feel good about himself. The crowd's going to absolutely go nuts, and I think he'll be off and running. If that first shot doesn't go down, I think everybody in that building, including Romeo, goes, oh, no. We know what happened last time against Nogel Eastern. Oh, no. I mean, because it is absolutely the season to overreact right now. It is absolutely that time of year, given what IU has done, to look at his first shot and go, oh, no. So he better make that first one, is what I'm saying. Second of all, you know, if the last game and a half hadn't happened, I'd say you're absolutely right, that he's too much of a competitor and all this. And I believe he's a competitor, obviously. But, you know, against Ohio State, and he was pretty good against Ohio State, in stretches. He had two, and that was my story that day, because he had two stretches where he took the game over. One stretch was about a minute and a half. One stretch was about 8 or 9 minutes. Took the game over. Best player on the court by far. That was added up to about 9 minutes. He played 38 that day. I didn't even notice him the other 29. So he gets in a rhythm and goes off, and he's Romeo. but then he just disappears. And I think his teammates and his coaches let him disappear. They let it happen. Now, don't. Why is Romeo in the corner? What, get out of there, Romeo. We're going to call a play and get you out of that corner. But he goes, stands there, and just waits. And then after that game, and I talked to an NBA scout that day at length, I wrote that night that he's still a lottery pick. He's still top 10, and I don't think top 5, but who the heck knows. But the NBA, they're not worried about his shot. Yeah, they'd like to see him shoot it better. Of course they would, but they're not worried about it. What they are worried about is he's not an alpha male, and they are worried that he's got this struggling team, and he's not putting them on his back. They are worried that he has stretches where he just disappears for long periods of time. I wrote those words. I don't know that Romeo saw him. I have to believe either A, saw him, or B, someone told him about him. If for no other reason to fire him up, you know, for no other reason as good coaching, hey, Romeo, look what they're saying in the NBA about you. Look what the guy in Indy Star wrote. And I like Romeo. You would think his reaction would be then to go to Minnesota and tear someone's head off. He took a season-low 6 shots against Minnesota. A season-low by 2 in 31 minutes. Went to the free throw line 4 times. So he disappeared against Minnesota. The game after he got called out by the NBA and sort of, I guess, me. So you're asking me what kind of competitor is he? Damn it, we saw something against Minnesota. We didn't like it. I didn't like it. So I think his first shot tonight will make or break it.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. How good is Purdue? They're almost opposite of Indiana right now as far as wins and losses. Have they won 10 of 11? Is that right?
I think it might be 11 of 12. Okay. I'm not sure. I think it's 11 of 12. How good are they? Well, they're ranked the top 15. The NCAA net has them as a number 3, maybe a 4 seed now, but I think a 3 seed. So answer your question, how good are they? They are overachieving. They're not that good. Now, their record says they are, and so they are. I'm not trying to be – this is me complimenting Purdue. I hope you understand that. I am complimenting them. They're not as good as their record says they are, and yet they have that record, and they're going to keep on winning. So I guess the talent level, they're pretty good. They've got a lot – I mean, they got one great player. Carson Edwards, a great player. And they got a lot of pieces. But Painter, you know, he does this. He puts pieces together, and the puzzle looks a lot better than each piece by itself does. That's what he does. And Archie hadn't done it yet at IU. Talent for talent, top level, I would take IU's best 2 players over Purdue's best player, 2 best players. I mean, I think, you know, Carson, production-wise, Carson's ahead of everybody. But in terms of just pure, put them in a gym, their ability, Romeo plus Juwan is greater than Carson plus, I don't know, Ryan Klein. The supporting cast, though, is clearly in Purdue's favor. But a lot of that, and again, you're talking to someone, you're listening to someone who's been so high on Archie, and I'm not giving up on him, and so high on Romeo, and Lord knows not giving up on him. But the facts are the facts. Purdue's out-coaching IU's brains out this year.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. As I look at the schedule for Purdue, and I've not studied Michigan or Michigan State, who are also at the top of the conference with Purdue right now, or actually just ahead of Purdue, I guess. But after they get past this rivalry game tonight, which that's the only reason I think tonight's game could be tricky, they've got Nebraska, Illinois, Ohio State, Minnesota, Northwestern, all very winnable games for this team. I don't know what the flip side of that looks like for the others at the top of the race, but that's a favorable schedule for them to maybe win the regular season title or at least tie for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, I want to clear up a mess. Purdue has won 9 of 10 and 12 of 14. They're going to go to Nebraska, you have to think, and win that game. They're going to win at home against Illinois and Ohio State. I expect they're going to win Minnesota. Heck, you know what? I'm looking at the schedule. I don't see a game in there I'd say they're not going to win. In fact, I don't see a game in there that I even think is all that problematic. So they could win out, and they're clearly playing their best ball right now. I mean, yeah, the loss to Maryland, not great, but, you know, you can't hit a home run every night. But they've won 9 of 10. They've beaten some really good teams, Michigan State in there. They've beaten the heck out of some teams. They're rolling. They're feeling good about themselves. They're rolling. And, yeah, they could win the league again. And how remarkable that we're even wondering if they will, given what they lost. I mean, the freshman class they had 5 years ago, seniors last year, you know, Haas, Edwards, P.J. Thompson, and Dakota Mathias, that was the transformational class for Matt Painter. I mean, that was unbelievable, that class. And the year those guys are gone, this is what you're doing? It's incredible.
Greg, before we let you go, I saw a story. I think it was a news column. I know sometime they rerun your stuff, but Jack Butcher from Ligoti, very interesting read that I saw and got a chance to look at a few days ago. Obviously a winning high school basketball coach almost beyond belief, but a very neat column there. Maybe you could tease it for somebody that wants to get on the IndyStar.com site and find that today.
Well, they'll have to go to my Twitter page. I don't think it'll be on the IndyStar.com site. Indy Star.com. I, truth be told, I wrote that 3 years ago.
Really?
The reason I put it back out there is that this week he is going to get passed. I think it might happen this week by Holmes. As the all-time, it's Holmes, right? Got to
yes,
pass him.
Yeah. I think he tied him over the weekend and could pass him this week, I think.
That sounds right. And I, Thursday night was the first night it could happen. And Kyle Nednerup, our preps guy, wrote about an interesting story. You know, what do you do in Lagoudi with all these signs that say home of the all-time winningest record holder, Jack Butcher? And I just, based on that, I said, hey, if you want to know who Jack Butcher is, here's who he is, and here's the story. So I put it back out there, and a lot of folks were seeing it for the first time, or maybe they just forgot what they read 3 years ago. I don't know. But he was a guy that was a great high school and college player. The Boston Celtics drafted him, and he just refused to go. Just, no, I'm good. Red Auerbach sent him a cable. Back then, that's what you did. You didn't tweet somebody. Send him a cable. Send him a cable saying, Jack, we really want you in camp. We need you. Jack's like, nah, I'm good. I want to go back to home to Lagoudi and coach. And that's what he's done. And he's won 800 whatever games. So it's a remarkable guy who knew his place in life, knew what he thought his place in life was 60 years ago, made that choice and has never looked back. And now they named the arena's named after him.
Absolutely. Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, always a lot of fun. Will you be at the IU-Purdue game tonight?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll see you there.
Okay, good. Yep. Bye.
All right, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Brighten your day at Coffee Crossing. Come enjoy our warm atmosphere, friendly service, great drinks, and delicious pastries from 410 Bakery. You can stay inside or use our convenient drive-through. Coffee Crossing, don't forget, fourth location coming this spring. Coffee Crossing, Sellersburg, easily located near Ivy Tech at the I-65 interchange. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com on a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is my guest. Mike is with us every Tuesday talking IU basketball in depth here on the program. And I want to start before we get to the obvious headline of the day. That is the IU-Purdue game tonight, which we'll carry right here on the Big X Sports Radio. I want to talk a couple of recruiting things. And in the headline segment, I quickly mentioned a player from Ohio by the name of Sean McNeil that is a freshman guard, 6'4". He's a junior college freshman. I mentioned he was a high school freshman that IU was checking in. So a little off there, cut by, what, four years or so. But nonetheless, an interesting player. And when we think about the roster construction for next year and who's back and who the incoming players, the incoming recruits are, interesting to think that IU may be taking a look at a junior college player.
Yeah, it's a shooter. And Indiana needs a shooter. This guy's very proven in terms of his numbers are really off the charts in terms of how many threes he's hit and what percentage. He's not at a very high level junior college. That would, you know, they definitely have to research it, but he's someone that has some a lot of offers. He's been shooting that well. I think he actually started at Bellarmine but left pretty quickly. I think that Indiana will look under every stone for a shooter, and this is one of those stones that they're looking under.
Absolutely. I expect that we'll hear a number of names pop up here in the coming weeks or months, especially when the season comes to a close as Indiana hunts down a shooter, as you mentioned. One other note, recruiting as well. We've talked a lot about this coming out of the weekend with Keon Brooks going to Kentucky for an unofficial visit there during the Tennessee game. He did not make the trip he had scheduled for another unofficial the very next day at Michigan State due to some travel complications. Also, a very interesting tweet I read on the program this morning from his father about the end is coming and talking about some tough talks between a family and a player and a coach. That's when recruiting really begins, and I'm paraphrasing what his father tweeted out. But always curious your opinion on things, especially when it comes to the recruiting realm. You've got a great read on it. Any insight, any thoughts on what you think could be potentially about ready to happen, maybe this week, maybe next week? Some people think by the end of the month for sure with Keon Brooks.
Yeah, I don't think anything's going to happen this week, but I think there's a good chance it'll happen, I don't know, in 2 weeks or more, but not anything real long off. I think he's, he may make a couple more trips. He wanted to go to Michigan State, but that was really logistically difficult to do with a night game and then an afternoon game, different parts of the Midwest. So I think that he's getting close, and I don't think it's a great sign that he has gone recently to Kentucky and Michigan State, but it would be a good sign and maybe even things out if he does come down to Bloomington one more time.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Do you think that there's a chance, I know you mentioned Bloomington, do you think there's a good chance he makes an appearance at a game before between now and the close of the regular season at Bloomington?
One would think, Matt, he's talked about making more visits, and he doesn't have any games now, so the schedule opens up. Season is not over, but he doesn't have another game until early April, in a prep school national tournament deal. There's not really anything keeping him from making the 2.5 hours or 3 hour drive to Bloomington. And there are some home games still up to the schedule for him to make. So we shall see. It doesn't have to be for a game. It could be at any time to get more comfortable. And usually at the end of the recruitment, actions speak louder than words because kids don't want to say anything. But you can read the tea leaves a little bit from actions, and that's why there's a little bit of angst after he made the long drive, the long trip to Lexington. We shall see. I think we've always kind of labeled this one as a tougher call than the Trace Jackson Davis one, and I think it's proven to be that.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. Let's talk IU-Purdue. That's obviously the big thing tonight, the big game of the night. We'll see if Indiana can have a bounce-back game against the rival. And one of the topics about this game that I don't think I've really mentioned today is, historically, or I won't even say historically, but recently, in this series, Purdue has dominated the series. If Indiana didn't need another reason to come out and try to get a win or to play hard or play in front of the home crowd, whatever the many reasons that you would want to do well tonight after what's happened to this Indiana team over the last couple of months, this has a real opportunity to be a big win, a big bounce back for the team, no matter what happens the rest of the season. That's something you got to think about. Purdue really has went on a nice little tear here in this series to have some dominance over Indiana.
Yes, and that game up in West Lafayette, Indiana, wasn't terribly competitive. I think they lost by 15. Purdue has some size, a 7'3 guy, and Trevion Williams is not nearly as tall, but he goes 280 pounds, and Purdue can shoot the ball. There's no doubt about that. Ryan Klein leading the way, but they have several guys with more than 20 threes in the season. They have some good complementary pieces to put around Carson Edwards. So they've become a really good team, they are a 5 to 6 point favorite tonight. Something has to change from Indiana. I don't know if that's a starting lineup change or just who plays or something, because what it's been going out there has not working, and it's more than proven that's not working. So, I do expect that things will get shaken up, as Archie Miller alluded to after Sunday's loss.
What could those drastic changes be? Is it a starting lineup change? Is it some significant minutes for a player that maybe has been coming in more of a reserve role? Any guesses? And I know that's all this would be as a guess, but any thoughts on what this drastic change could be, or was it more just post game frustration and talk, in your opinion?
I think there's a little bit of that playing into it. One of the problems with this team is there hasn't been many options. You look at this guy who's not playing well, and then you go to the bench, there's really nothing there that gives you great confidence that things will be different. I do think having Race Thompson back the mix is a big deal. Not that he's going to be great from the outset, but he kind of gives the team a little something different. He's a little bit tougher kid, and
he's not the kind of guy that I think will get down on himself. Like, this team seems to have a proliferation of guys who miss a couple shots, and then their body language goes sour, and that kind of leads to these long scoring droughts for Indiana. I think Race, you know, wasn't in there very long, 7 minutes, but had five boards and a couple blocks. I think you'll see him play a lot if he can physically hold up. Not that he's really ready to be himself, but again, it's just the attitude and the effort, I think, would be there from him. I think Deron Davis, you know, he has a lot of weaknesses on defense, but he is a low post threat, and the team looks better offensively with him out there. I think you'll see more of him. Outside of that, you know, I don't really have, you know, a lot to tell you. I think they've experimented a little with Jake Forrester and Clifton Moore at times, but there's a defensive issue there and really a lot of things to kind of preventing them from playing. And they didn't play a single minute at Minnesota, if I remember right.
Were you surprised last night when Coach Miller took to the podium during his coach's show and said that last night everyone left the building happy and it was one of the best practices? I think he said at IU, not even just this season, but were you surprised by any of those remarks, given how things have went and how they you can almost, you know, we don't know particulars, we don't know details, but you can almost read into things here that there's clearly some things going on with this team more than what we know. Were you surprised to hear how well practice went and the coach to tell us that, given what we've seen recently and how bad it's been?
Well, I have heard from after games talking about how good practice was a couple of days before that. So I take that with a little bit of grain of salt, but I do think it's an encouraging sign that he saw effort and efficiency in practice. But I don't think he can take too much from it, to be honest. And I had this impression on this team that it might be some guys that play better in practice than they do in games. I wondered about that with Evan Fitzner. I think there's maybe a little bit of psychological thing going on there, maybe with another player or two. But I'm not there, so I can't give you any strong facts to back that up other than just kind of inferring that from Archie's comments and their struggles during games and being thrown out there again and again. Makes you think that maybe they're playing well in practice but not always putting in the same kind of production into a game.
Mike Pegram of the Pigs.com website is my guest. We're talking IU-Purdue. Beyond this game tonight, and maybe you need to see this game before you can answer this, but based on what you've seen and what you know heading into tonight, how can you see this Indiana team finishing up? Some people say the season's over. Others want to believe if Indiana can get a win tonight or make some improvement tonight against their rival at home, that there are some winnable games, especially at the back end of the schedule, although we have seen Illinois – make some improvements as the Big Ten season has went on. How do you see this thing ending to this season, the regular season at least for IU?
I think there'll be some positive moments. I actually think they might win tonight, Matt. And I kind of felt that way. You know, I think Rab Johnson backed me up that game up in East Lansing. I don't know. I just have a feeling that every once in a while this team will pull together. They're a team that if they get some good shot, a three-point shooting, they're actually – you know, pretty formidable team. It's just rare that they get that three-point shooting because they don't have guys who really are good shooters. Well, in the case of Romeo, maybe guys influenced by, you know, wrist injury and what have you. But, I think they'll have some moments. I don't think it's an NCAA tournament team. I don't think it's a team that can pull enough wins together here at the end to make the tournament. But I do think they will have at least two or three other big moments this year. And I think there's a good chance that one of them will be tonight.
Mike Pegram, Pigs.com, with us on a Tuesday program. Mike, I'll see you in Bloomington tonight. Thanks for the chat, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Again, Mike Pegram, our guest, wrapping up this Tuesday program. IU tonight, Purdue, 7 o'clock, the tip-off. That means our pregame coverage with Don Fisher and the IU Radio Network will begin in the 6 o'clock hour. Maybe we'll find out in that hour what some of the drastic changes are, if there truly are going to be any, when Archie Miller gives the starting lineup and some pregame comments to Don Fisher in that program. So make sure you check it out in the 6 o'clock hour. Obviously, the game will tip off at 7 o'clock. We'll have that as well. Following the game and the IU Network post-game, we go to Assembly Call with Jared Morris. It's a great in-depth, if you're really a fan of the Hoosiers and you follow this team in-depth, it's a great way to track or to follow up on what happens during the game. Good, bad, ugly, whatever the story is tonight when Indiana and Purdue finish up, Jared and his team will have some great breakdown. And it's just it's a terrific way to really get in-depth on this IU team. So I encourage you to check that out when the network coverage is completed tonight. A final reminder as well, we've got our podcast on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate those of you that subscribe or that listen that way on a regular basis. You can find it at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. You can also search on the SoundCloud app. Same thing with Apple Podcasts. And if you would, on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us connect with others who might be interested in a radio show or a podcast about IU basketball and sports here in Southern Indiana. That's going to wrap it up for this Tuesday. Have a great day. Don't forget IU basketball tonight. And, of course, I'll be back on the air at 11 o'clock tomorrow with a complete rundown of what happens tonight during the game and much more. So make sure you join me tomorrow. We'll have a number of guests with us and go from there to see how this Indiana team can they turn the corner against rival Purdue tonight before they look down the final handful of games of the season. Have a great day. I'm back with you tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.